You are now listening to the New Old Heads Podcast, premiered every Thursday at noon Eastern Standard Time at bringdowntheband.com, and brought to you by No Bad Ideas, Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl, and Sun King Brewery. Support the New Old Heads by visiting our Patreon at patreon.com/newoldheads.
You're now tuned in to the New Old Heads Podcast. I am Major 7. I'm having a great day. So is Akiyoshi. He's in the building. He's having a great day as well. He got his fist up. Crew is here. Nah, they didn't. Matter of fact, thank you for checking me, because technically we should get a check for that. So I won't bring him up anymore until they break bread with us. But speaking of the voices,
you have a little Yoshi statue.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's promoting product, you know.
Yeah.
But
okay.
Nintendo doesn't play. You saw what happened to Soldier Boy. You want to go to jail.
Yeah, so let me chill. I'm about to keep him out the screen moving forward. Voice of Indianapolis, Mr. Wavy Light Skin Girls Be Loving Me Now, my man Jay Moore. How are you, sir?
You know, once again, kick it but not high, flapping but can't fly. You know, just in the building once again. Glad to see everyone.
Spit that game then. I see you always repping your city, the St. Louis, as always.
Yeah, man, despite half the team having the Rona, you know, we're still competitive, so I'm impressed.
They know half the team had that thing, but you know, yeah, hopefully y'all can, you know, get right, man. Do your quarantine, do what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, we'll see.
From the Bringing Down the Band headquarters, my man Longevity, how are you, sir?
I am doing all right, Michael. Cannot complain.
Where's your comb for beard?
My comb is here. Well, you know, I cut it, right? So I'm growing it back out. I mean, it still fits now.
Will it stay? Okay. Okay, I was a little concerned.
It's tough, man. You know, got the slow-growing facial hair.
I'm with it. rounding out the squad in a incredible Chicago hoodie that I'm actually envious of, the incredible DJ Spools.
Thanks, man. Hello, Michael. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. I really like that hoodie, my friend. That's tough.
Yeah, I like it too. I appreciate you saying that. It's a the 97 NBA Finals joint.
Yes. Like yeah, that's tough, man.
And I got the pants to match. So,
oh my God. If you're going to do it right, Spools. If you're going to do it,
you
want to do it
right. Just real quick, though, Aretha, like this material, the way it is, I think it's just cotton. But she'll dig her nails into me, like when she's trying to get, you know, like sit in my lap or something like that. Yep. My cat. And, she's fucked my pants kind of all up. So
already
pants now.
Oh man.
Yep.
You had the whole fit, Spools, and now Riri had to mess it up, huh?
I know, man. Hey, it's okay.
It's all good. Okay. We still love Riri. It's all good.
Indeed. Yeah. It's her world.
It is. And indeed. All right, let's go ahead and jump into the rundown for today. Let's start with Griselda. Conway dropped his album Into a God. I got the features and producers here, but we're talking about this album for something that's outside of the actual album. Well, not outside the album, but involves the album with someone that we know, and we've actually been down this road before, which is crazy, and I can't believe that we're back here again. But
he was actually talking on the show about it.
Yes. So
I'll cut you off. Well, but yeah.
Are you right? No, you're fine. So on this album is 14 tracks. It just dropped. It features Havoc, Lloyd Banks, Dej Loaf, Method Man, Primo, Freddie Gibbs, Alchemist is on there, Derringer, Eric Sermon's got joints.
Names.
But one in particular, West Side Gun obviously is on there with Benny. But one name in particular stands out this time, and it's Hit Boy, because Hit Boy's record that he produced, Fear of God, that features Dej Loaf, I was on Facebook, I believe it was yesterday, and I saw our homie Il Brown from Chicago. Shout out to Il Brown, dope producer, super producer. He's in the anime and everything, like he's really moving. He got burned again on one of his loops that he has, I believe, through Native Instruments. He has a deal where he, you know, he'll upload drum kits and one shots, you know, like a single snare, single kick. Sometimes he'll compose like an actual drum loop, a full loop with the BPMs, etc. It'll be up on the website. So he posts the Fear of God record featuring Dej Loaf, and he posts one of his actual loops that he, you know, composed and put the full loop together, and the drums are the exact same. This has already happened with another record on Freddie Gibbs and Madlib's album, where someone else, I believe it was Madlib. I don't know if that record was co-produced, but someone else jacked another one of his loops for that album. So
there was no co-production credits, at least on it.
Gotcha. Okay. So and the Fear of God was a joint that he actually released. That was one of the joints that released prior to the album coming out. So again, Ill Brown has been burned with one of his loops, and nobody reached out to him, even just say, "Yo, man, do you want credit for it? Or how do we go about it?" Because Ill's always has JPEGs for, you know, embedded into the loops and everything. Like, he's done what he's supposed to do. So, Don, I'm coming to you first on this one, and my question for you, specifically being a producer, should this discourage producers from putting out loop packs, you know, drum kits, like? We know the feeling and how bad that would hurt to see someone jack your whole shit and then have it released as one of the singles off an album and you get no pub from it. So should up and coming producers be discouraged about putting out loops and drum kits?
I think not necessarily. What I will say is that Ills has been doing this for a long time. Like, and for you, for people, everybody watching that doesn't know, like, I started a sound loop based drum kit company in what, 2014, maybe 15, somewhere around there.
Drums Bang,
right? And that company, I only ran it for about 6 months or so, because what I was doing, the industry kind of changed a little bit. Because the main reason I stopped is because it started becoming a little oversaturated for what I was doing. Mm-hmm. But the first two producers that I worked with was Slot A and Ill Brown, and we put out custom drum kits for both of them. So my reason of saying this is that, one, I've got a little bit of history in it, but also Ill Brown has been putting out kits for a very long time, even before it was a thing to do.
Definitely.
So who knows what this deal looks like that he has with Native Instruments. There might not be anything that he can really do for it. What I would suggest producers do moving forward is to learn from this. And so if you're going to put out, all right, let's talk about it in comparison, right? So the producer of this track was Hit-Boy, right? He produced Fear of God. When we talked about Nas's album a couple weeks ago, and the intro was produced by Hit-Boy as well. And I know for a fact that the song got co-production credits from the homie Pat Jr. Because Hit-Boy used one of Pat Jr.'s samples from his company, Pelham. I think it's Pelham and Jr. And so through that, he got a co-production credit. But that speaks to what Pat Jr. has set up on the back end to where he can collect that residual from the back end. Now, I'm not saying Ills doesn't have that, but I'm pretty sure that Ills' deal was a while ago, you know? So one thing that's interesting. I'm pretty sure it was quite a while ago. No, I'm just saying, like, I'm pretty sure it was a while ago, because I remember when he was, like, talking about it, like, personally, and it was years ago. And so, it's just crazy that something that you do so long ago can all of a sudden, you know, turn into now to where, like, oh, wow, now he's got two placements in the last year that are major placements. Like,
that's the part.
This major placements where maybe at the time, it didn't seem like it was... Maybe the deal that he was working with Native Instruments seemed to make sense at the time, but who would have, like, I think a lot of part of it as well is we kind of, One, I don't know. I know I'm like all over the place here, but like, because I'm like having all these thoughts at the same time. But I feel like, one, would you even guess that some random sound pack that you put up is going to get major placements in 4 or 5 years after you put it out? You know, and two, would you not expect the producer to reach out to you to actually give you credit for it? And that's, I think, the bigger talking point, which what we're kind of talking about right now. Like, do you think, Mike, this is what I'm opposed to, because, and I can go back on it and we can talk about it around the room, but do you think that the producer, such as Hit-Boy, is required to and or should reach out to producers that he's using sound kits from if they are quote-unquote royalty-free?
I mean, the way I look at it is there's a difference between, obviously there's two sides of it. There's a legality side, the paperwork side, you know, the structure side of it, and then there's the morality side of it, right? So
you hear
a lot of producers say, oh man, I'm always trying to look out for the up and coming talent, and you know, there was someone that helped me out, so I'm really trying to be that guy that can help someone else. And then you see shit like this happens. So it's like, I could see, like, this is not like mid-level thing that happened to him. This is the upper echelon release. That's two of them. We're talking about life. We're talking about possibly life-altering production credits. Seriously.
Yes. Yeah.
Like the amount of traffic that could have been funneled towards Ill Brown based off those two records being on those two albums, that's priceless.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I've always been the type of person, and I think sometimes our era is a little bit outdated, and it could be from this standpoint. You always hear the cliche term about nice guys finishing last or all that type of shit. You hear people talk about that. From a moral standpoint, I was raised differently, so I have a conscience sometimes. Sometimes that might hurt me, but...
Sometimes you don't have a conscience.
Sometimes I don't. My thing is, I'm looking at it this way. If I had a producer, you know, like, Ills runs in these circles with a lot of people that have these loop packs out. It doesn't happen to them. So he's looking at it like, why me? In the same circle with a lot of the rest of these cats, but why would you rip mine?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So what is it really that hard to be like, yo, I'm going to use this loop, man. Like, I could put your name in the credits, man. Like, is that cool? Do you want some cheese? Or what do we have to do? I just wanted to make sure I shouted you out. That's not that hard.
I wonder really too if it's... I wonder, too, if it's specifically because they're drums and they're not, like, melodic elements, too. You know what I mean? Like, because it's a little bit different, you know? And another thing about both of these records, the Freddie Gibbs Madlib joint and the Conway song, is that it wasn't like they just used his drum pack. Like, that's one thing. Like, they used, like, the pre-made sample loop that his composition to showcase just what the sounds sound like together.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what makes it worse. Like, you can't copyright a one shot. There's nobody that's going to be able to claim a snare or one kit. You can't do that. But he put the drums together that way to showcase the whole kit. So you took the whole loop and added one more hi-hat loop on top of it and called it a day. Like, I don't know, man. It's just it's a tough
spot.
So
is that the line? Is that the line, do you guys think? You know, is that the line? Like, one shots are okay, but loops aren't? You know,
it's hard to track down a snare. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know,
but
how many drum packs
I'm talking like aside from that, like aside from the fact that it's hard to track down. What about just the simple fact of, you know, the morality side of things? Right. If you're going to use somebody's snare, could you always say where it's from? You know,
I don't think that's like the composition, in my opinion. I don't think that's like the composition.
Yeah, I don't either. But I mean,
I don't think that's I feel where you're going. Go to Spools real quick. Spools, let me pose a question to you from a morality standpoint. You know, if you're looking at Hit-Boy versus what Ill Brown is saying, like, where do you stand on that? Do you think it would have been dope for him just to reach out real quick to throw him a bone, or look at it as if, well, legal wise, he didn't technically have to because it doesn't say that on the specifics? Like, how do you feel about that overall?
Well, I mean, obviously, the, you know, first thing he said, I think it would be the cooler way to handle that, you know?
Right.
And even to your point, even if he just were to, if they were just to put his name in the credits and not give him any money, but just put his name in the credits, that's still I think would go a long way as well, right? You know, so
right.
I mean, something would have, you know, been nice, but yeah, again, I unfortunately don't know a whole lot. I mean, I've kind of have just followed what you guys have talked about. You know, I don't think I was on the show when he was on and when it was right. brought, you know what I mean? But I remember you guys chatting about it, and it's just, you know, I don't know. It's kind of shitty.
What about what about DJing? You know, like, because if you use if you're using different acapellas and stuff to scratch on, right? I mean,
yeah, I think with DJing, I feel like I've always felt like it's more of like a style thing too, like copying somebody else's style or the way that they, you know, mix or blend records, or you know, see that more so than, I guess, you know, I don't know. Jay Moore probably might be a better judge since he's seen so many DJs, but what do you think about that, Jay?
I don't know. I mean, are you talking about like if you get in, you just kind of scratch somebody's name, or and you create something based on off of that? Like, I like
what yeah, I've that's, seen John was saying. I thought,
yeah,
I
that's, well, that's
like the same records and shit as somebody else. More
well,
or
well, maybe, but I think more so, even more specifically, like let's say you are using cuts on a record, right? But you're using an acapella from Nas, or you're using an acapella from over here. I mean, it's still like technically sampling, you know what I mean? Like, and those samples have to be clear.
Okay. I follow you now.
Yeah.
Oh, because I've done that a lot, you know, when I was, you know, I was the little guy. I didn't have to, you know, but if I were in,
for sure,
you know, as a DJ, if I had access to those folks, I would, I'd been like, man, cool if I use, you know, just cut this little part from this song. Yeah. From a moral standpoint, like you guys were talking about, like, and it's just unfortunate. It just sounds like to me, you know what I mean? Like you said, it's not too difficult to reach out to someone who, like you said, might probably be familiar with his circle and wouldn't have been that difficult to, you know, to find, you know, or whatever. Nobody's that hard to find these days anyway, right? So
right.
But then there's also the artistic part of it too, which is interesting that you brought up, that you guys made it seem like, because I haven't listened to like the comparison of the two. I don't think I've listened to Ill's drum kit. Obviously I'm not a producer, so
we might be able to bring it up. We might be able to play it.
Yeah,
I'd really like it. I'd really love to hear what you thought, Spools, after you hear it. Like
from what you guys said, it sounds like the producers who did this, sounds like Madlib and Hip Boy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That they weren't too creative with the way they used it either. You know, so not only did they not give him some sort of credit that he was due, but then also didn't really do much with it. You know what I mean? Like, so
it's like you know what it's like? It's like they took a drum break and they just used the drum break without chopping it up. And that's kind of what Ills was saying. He was like, well, can you at least chop my break up? You know? And so.
Like, it was just kind of just a straight, like you said, if it is what, you know, again, I'm sure you guys are, I mean, I trust, you know, you know what you're talking about and all that shit. So take your word for it. But yeah, that's
kind of cool.
And maybe it is, though, to your point, maybe the line is at drums. You know, maybe there is some sort of line that's drawn there. I don't know. Like,
that's kind of what I was getting at. Like, it kind of seems like the line is in the compositions / like the one shot sounds. It seems like that's the line. But as soon as you like jump into taking somebody's like pattern.
Yeah.
Like musical, like whether it's drums or loops, that seems to be like the line of like, well, manipulate it somehow, you know?
What did Pat Jr. do on the intro?
So his company is a company that makes sample loops. So they'll like play a whole bunch of chords or something.
Mm-hmm.
They'll sell them on Splice or wherever you can get sounds. And then any producer can use them however they want.
Mm-hmm.
Technically they're royalty free, but every once in a while, I don't know if it's through his connections or how he's using it, the other producers will use those packs to create stuff, and then somehow he is copying to get some sort of credit for it and some sort of royalty statement on the back end, I'm guessing, as well. But
nice.
So it sounds like he has, from a structural standpoint, there's something there, like Lone was talking about, that he's able to at least, I don't know if it's, it might be part connection, part paperwork, but there's something that's going on back there that enabled him to, you know, get recognized. You know what I'm saying?
And it can be also, depending on how you put your loop out, you can say it's straight royalty free, or you can say, hey, you can use this, but if you get a placement with it, a license, yeah. So, but if you use this for something, then you're required to give us some type of percentage credit. You know, like, you can write that into the contract. I've seen commentary back and forth. Most artists that I, or producers that I see that make this type of stuff, they go for the royalty free route for the simple fact that it's easier. You know, I guess I don't know what Pat's contract really is or anything like that, but.
Oh, I just didn't. Yeah. Jay, what do you think, man?
Well, I mean, first of all, you know, this is the music industry. It is a dirty, dirty game.
You go.
You know, I feel for Ill just because you, Hit Boy and Madlib are pretty much on two opposite sides of the spectrum as far as, you know, producer sensibilities. And he got jacked by both of them. And
right,
I think,
right.
And maybe jacked isn't the word, but, you know, when you hear the comparison, you're like, wow, man, like, even if you don't.
Identical.
Even it's if it's the same situation thing. And of course, I remember when the Madlib album came out and we had our discussion about that. I was like, yeah, man, that Half Man, was it Half Man, Half Cocaine?
Yeah,
that's that shit.
I just remember thinking, man, that's the one of the beats that stood out to me. And then I come to find out that it's basically.
Oh, that was Ill's drums, that song?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which one on both parts of that, or like
the first part?
The first part. Okay.
Which is interesting because that doesn't sound like Madlib at all, anyways. It was kind of trappy, you know?
Lone said when he first heard the album, Madlib got some trap joints on there. I had no idea that it was our homie's trap drums. Like, we didn't, I didn't crazy, even think dude. About it.
I love that song, too. That's my favorite song on that album. It's crazy.
Exactly. And so, like, the thing is, if you know this is what you're doing and you're somebody like Madlib or Hit Boy, like at least, like, you know, put my man on the credits and show him some kind of love, even if it's a situation where, you know, in the streaming era, and I'm not sure exactly how all this money is moved around, like, maybe it's not a situation where you can get him a whole lot of money, but, like, yo, the fact that he could get credited, you know, is, yeah, you
talk,
know, even with
I talk to Ills personally, man.
You know, show
it's not
know,
about the bread. Some,
yeah, show some love to where, like, maybe, you know, it's another producer. You clearly see that he has talent, enough talent that you would use something that he created. You know, let him, you know, let if you're not willing to give him any money, okay, cool. You know, but at least put him in the credits so he can take that ball and run with it. You know, a lot of times that's really all it's about. Like, you know, the whole situation to where Cash Money wasn't paying its producers. It's like, okay, all right, we didn't get paid for this, but at least my name is on it. And I can now that's a different story because, you know, there were big radio hits and club bangers that were not
some records. Yeah,
they weren't. But at least those people were able to, you know, keep it moving and keep working, you know, and get their money elsewhere. But I just feel like, you know, In this day and age, especially with the way records are selling or streaming or however it is that they try to compile all these numbers and try to make it make sense, like at least give people their proper credit as far as being a contributor or be like, yo, if you know you got it from here, and the internet makes the world a very small place, like eventually this stuff is going to come out, and maybe, you know, and here we are talking about it. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love the Conway album, but here we are talking about this. You know,
right.
So
instead of the album,
don't think somebody's not gonna see this and be like, oh, I didn't know that, and start doing research. Like, nobody wants to be considered a thief or a biter in this game. You know what I'm saying? And I just think that at this point, yo, just give me the credit, and, you know, I can put that on my resume and say, hey, you know, I did so and so for, you know, Madlib with Madlib for Freddie Gibbs and Conway the Machine. You know, you never know what that could lead to for somebody else. Like, it's, you know, sometimes just put some good energy out into the universe, man. It doesn't take much.
Yeah. And I have to say, shouts to people, producers like Illmind. He goes live on Twitch, I think 3 times a week or something. But he's had this type of dialogue on his channel about, you know, why would I not reach out to somebody who's a part of that makes just to build that relationship for the future, you know, and whatnot, and build upon it. Now, granted, he has a ton of kits out, so it makes sense for him to do that. But aside from that, he is kind of creating and starting this conversation, which is a good conversation to have. Yeah. Because for a long time, to be honest, this was an entirely gray area. Mm-hmm. Sample kits started coming out and it's cool. I don't have to worry about sampling and clearing samples anymore. And now it's creeping back in, oh no, you still have to clear samples. It's it's one of those weird things. But
David said in the chat, he said, how is this different than people sampling loops in general?
Yeah.
Well, technically it is it's exactly like a loop. It's it's the same concept, you know what I mean? So I don't know, man. I just hate to have someone that we know that's a close friend, have to go through that twice, man. And this has been within, when did that Gibbs album come out? That was,
it's been within 4 or 5 months.
So I was about to say, that's twice in the same year.
Well, technically, now that album came out last year, but
last year.
Yeah, we were still all together in the same spot at that
point. But he didn't actually find out about it until April.
Yeah, it was a while down the road. Yep. Is that the loop long?
I don't know if you guys can hear this or not. We're gonna find out. See if you guys can hear it. At least the chat will be able to hear it.
Okay. Here we go. I can hear it.
Listen to the double. All right. And then what we have,
did you hear that, Spools?
Yeah, I heard it.
I did.
All right, so now what I'm going to do is play the actual part of Fear of God so you can actually kind of hear the comparison.
But I still provided the hope for those guys. I'm just letting my soul cry. Flow raw like the breaks from the source where you got to take a plane and a boat ride.
Wow.
Yeah, literally the exact,
same route.
Yeah. Hey, while you're in there, Sean, can you play Ill's drums that were used for Half Main, Half Cocaine?
Are
those easily accessible to you?
Yeah, let me pull them up real quick.
That's pretty
knock
wild.
Knock it off. Knock it off.
Let's see here. Hold on, I gotta go.
There's no variation anywhere. It's the exact same thing. And then he brings in one hi-hat.
The compression sounds the same.
It's crazy.
The half man, half cocaine drums sound subtly different. I don't know if it's pitched a little, Mad Lib pitches stuff weird. So I don't know but the drum pattern is identical to me. All right. So here we go. See if
identical.
You guys can,
yeah.
See if you can hear this. So at the very end is the part that really kind of gets down here. Never learn. Mm-hmm. This part right here is where it kind of sells it.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's
crazy. It's identical. So it's, hey, that's kids, wild. Don't steal drums. You know what's ironic here's the thing. I'll just be honest. I've absolutely taken breaks from just kits and stuff and used them before. I absolutely have, straight up. Most of the times I do pitch them or chop them a little bit, but there are definitely songs where I just kept them the same, on remixes or something like that. Now, very rarely ever on an actual full length release, but I've definitely done it before and never really even thought twice about it. So now I will. Last 3 or 4 years is sample packs start coming out and more producers are putting the stuff out. But it's still crazy that these are such major releases and they didn't reach out to all the artists that are part of it.
Yeah.
But
yeah, man. And his are identical. It's just just the exact same thing, man. It's just crazy. But we'll see, man. I know he's gonna I don't know what he can or cannot do. He definitely put it on his IG page and tagged him. So tag both of them.
He did.
He's had enough. So we'll see. Let's take some time. We're about halfway through. Let's shout out some of our partners real quick before we get into the second half.
What's the next topic we're going to talk about, too? I don't even remember. Is it going to be...
I have listed...
The 100 songs?
That one kind of went a little long.
Yeah, the Tupac.
Define New York. I got the 100 songs.
Okay. All right. Let's see if I can figure out how to transition this in here.
We'd like to thank our partners for the new Old Heads podcast. No Bad Ideas Clothing Company, Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl, Sun King Brewery, and the hub for all things new old heads, bringingdowntheband.com. Remember, once you type Bringing Down the Band in the search bar on YouTube and the page populates, subscribe and hit the bell for notifications. And as always, we thank you for your support. Now back to the show.
All right, we are back.
Hey.
All right.
Conway's Conway puts out so much music, though, Nicole. Like, he has so much music. It's just, like, it's hard to put, like, a number on it. Like, they all run together to me. Most of the music he puts out, Griselda in general, is just good, too. So it's like...
He's talking like he got another one, like, in the can somewhere. Like,
I don't doubt it. That's how they roll. Recording,
yeah.
The only thing that I feel like it works against him, I was talking to somebody about this weekend, is, you know, Pray for Paris is still, it's in my top albums of this year. But okay. Then,
that came out this year?
Yes. But then he put out another one maybe a couple months later, maybe not even that long later, which I didn't like as much. I mean, other than...
Are you talking about West Side Gun?
Yes.
Yep.
You know, I love that track he has with... Stove God Cooks, is that what it is? Stovepipe? I don't know. I can't remember. Yeah. I just...
Oh, he's about to say Stovepipe.
I just love that name. You know, that's hard. But it's just like, yo.
It's like one of the best street rap names ever. But Stove God Cooks. Yeah. Like, that name is gangster.
But Pray for Paris is like, that's, to me, as far as if you hadn't been able to get somebody in the West Side Gun yet, I'd be like, okay, let's sit down and check out Pray for Paris. And I love the records that he's done so far, but like that one to me, I probably ran that more than any Griselda release up to this point. And like, I really like this new Conway joint. And I was like, okay, I feel like they're getting into that sweet spot to where even like, cause there are people like, Spools put me on West Side when he played me the track Mr. T. Which is crazy that you cannot stream that or buy it anywhere now. I don't know what the legalities that whole album has basically disappeared from the internet. Well, you can find it on YouTube, but as far as legal streaming, it's just not around. But I feel like they're getting into their sweet spot to where like they're not just making these collections of albums or of songs. It's like, okay, these guys have figured out how to make records. And so I feel like the next one to come when Benny puts his out, because I always feel like Benny was
he's got one with Hit Boy coming.
I always felt like Benny was the best, you know, straight up lyricist in that crew. And Conway, I mean, I love West Side, but I think that Conway and Benny are better overall lyricists. But like Conway, like really, like, you know, aside from all this other stuff we talked about, like it's a good record. I mean,
yeah, I like
it's a record that is not going to be here today, gone tomorrow. Like, I'm going to listen to this record more than just what I need to so I can talk about it on this show. Because a lot of times that's what happens. Like, I just want to make sure, I don't want to be out of the loop on things. So, you know, while I'm running or playing video games or whatever, I'm like, okay, let me make sure I give this a good once through for the show. Kind of like, what, you know, basically, that's the only reason I've listened to the last, like, 3 or 4 Eminem albums so we can talk about them on the show. But I don't go back to them, Joe. You know, that's just real.
Yep. Well, I mean, with Benny, I'm very curious to hear what Benny comes up with Hit Boy, because, you know, they are on a good little streak. So shout out to Stove God Cooks as well. His Reasonable Drought album was fire too. He has some heat on that. Let's jump into this list that was on vulture.com where they had what they have listed as the 100 songs that define New York rap. And they have them ranked. It says it's not a sound, it's an attitude. So I think some of these are no-brainers, but here's my question to you guys, because some of these joints on here, I'm sure we'll have different opinions on. You want me to do you want me to quickly scroll through, or do you want me to start?
I don't care about like all 100, maybe just the top 10 or 5 yeah. or something. Whatever top you guys 10 think.
Is 20 or something. Is 20 cool?
Yeah.
Mike's like, sure. Let's talk about them all.
Yeah. I mean, it's whatever. I can, you know, I just wanted to make sure. We didn't talk about it, so I figured that
no,
out.
No, I was just giving you shit.
Oh, yeah, go ahead, man. 20 is cool, sure.
All right, let's find 20. So,
I mean, if somebody else wants to listen to all 100 of these, by all means, I don't want to take that from you, you know?
All right, man. So we're starting at 20. And again, these are the songs that define New York hip hop and New York hip hop sound. They have Onyx Slam at number 20, 1993.
No.
So,
what's interesting is like Onyx was like a punk rock group or something before they were a hip hop group, if I'm not mistaken. Jay Moore, you recall?
I don't remember that.
I don't know if they were actual group, but they were. That's what they were like. I don't know. I think they were maybe in group. I don't have to double check that, but at least heavily influenced. So
I have to look that one up. Maybe I'm not sure about that one.
Maybe it wasn't. I don't know. I'll look that up.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not overly hip on Onyx, to be honest. Like, I know that song, but I don't really know a lot of their other records.
I had the tape.
I always felt like Throw Your Guns would have been more of a quintessential New York record. Like, Slam was damn near crossover.
Mm. Yeah, they had some heat, though.
Yep.
Mike Like All 100. Nicola Hater. Number 19, Gangstar, Mass Appeal, 1994. I'm not mad at that.
Yeah, okay. That's a little
extra.
Anybody good on that one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Slick Rick and Dougie Fresh, Lottie Dottie, 1985.
I think, yep.
Yeah.
I'm mad at that.
Okay, and this is the ones now, that just capture New York, right? Yeah, that's the idea behind this.
These are the essential rap, hip hop records for New York that define.
It's interesting because Slick Rick's from the UK. So, but.
True.
Yeah. And Dougie,
Fresh. Guru's from Boston and Premier's from Texas.
From Houston. Texas, yeah, that's true.
It's a fact. Okay, so now this is where we get a little sketchy for me in terms of being top 20 all time. Lord Tariq and Peter Gunn's Deja Vu, Uptown Baby, 1998. Top 20 in New York?
I agree with that.
That was.
You'll take that, Spools?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, if it was the Bronx.
It's literally all about New York, and it's in the chorus, and like, yeah, I think it's a very New York song, and it captures like the video captures that era of New York really well too.
So, CEO was fire. I think I'm cool on top 20, but I get why it's on the list.
No,
I think
should be top 10. I wouldn't be upset if it was top 10.
A little high for me, bro. That's a little high for me.
They might have been one hit wonderish. I don't know if you guys feel that way about.
I do.
Oh no, they were definitely one hit wonders.
Yeah. You know,
this song was fire though.
But that song is fucking ill. Yeah, you're right.
If I'm not mad at that.
The Bronx rap shit probably wouldn't. Oh, so tell me where you from.
Yeah, that song was dope.
All right, Uptown, 16, baby.
Big Pun featuring Fat Joe, Still Not a Player, 1996.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean,
hell, I'm one of those people. I like the original I'm Not a Player. Is more than I like the remix with Joe. So
that was a big record too.
It was a much bigger record, but I like the original.
I'm mad at you. Let's see. 15.
Tupac.
DMX Rough Riders Anthem, 1998.
Yeah.
No issues for me.
Which one?
No, I don't think that would
Rough Riders
that
Anthem.
I don't think in New York when I hear that.
I definitely do, man. And the video. No, it's more about the song, but the video. It's like, man, them with the, you know, riding through and with the bikes and four-wheelers and all that.
Yeah, I think I'm with Spools on this one. I don't have any issues with this one being 15.
I just don't hear, like, for some reason, I don't know. I think of the East Coast, but I don't think of New York when I think of that song. But
just talk about just the sound, the vibe, long when it comes on.
When I think of the Rough Riders, I think Rough Riders was more than just New York, though, wasn't it?
Well, it was It was pretty New York.
Like Philly,
but
too?
But the majority was New York.
I mean, when you're talking about Eve, but I mean, well, yeah, kind of. The whole thing is with when you're talking about after, say,
Eve was a big part of Rough Riders.
This is when New York had figured out how to make not just New York records. You know, there was a time where, like, there were, unless you just liked hip hop, you know, and you heard some artists from New York, you just, you weren't listening to them. Like, you were, like, Dre and them had the formula and figured out how to not only make West Coast records, but how to make crossover Universal records. And right. there were artists from New York who had a problem with that. Mm-hmm. But they, there was an era after that, after a certain point, especially when Puffy hit with No Way Out, where they figured it out. And I believe part of Rough Riders was part of that, them figuring out how to make nationwide records that had that certain appeal. So it doesn't okay. feel as New York as maybe something like Mass Appeal.
Hmm. Yeah, Mass Appeal, like that, it's New York to me, you know?
I'm not but, that, yeah.
Side but yeah, note, I mean, I just my thoughts.
Oh, yeah. Just after brief research, didn't find anything about Onyx being necessarily in a group. So it might have been blowing a little smoke up everybody's ass. As far as that,
you know what?
I'm sorry, but
I know where you might have got that thought. You remember there was a movie called Judgment Night, and basically it was all rappers doing records with either like punk bands or alternative bands. Onyx did a record with a group called Biohazard.
Yeah,
and it was the lead single from the movie Judgment Night. So I can see where you might have picked up on something there. But
they were into like the whole like. I mean, people like the mosh pitting shit and like,
oh my god, yeah, all that shit. The slam video is full of that.
Yeah,
yeah.
So, but
well, that's
anyway,
why I feel like slam really isn't that quintessential New York record compared to Throw Your Guns. I don't know if that's even on the list, but I feel like Throw Your Guns is definitely one of those East Coast bangers.
Yep. All right.
Let's go with number 14, Terror Squad, Lean Back, 2004. Big record, man.
It was poppy. It was popular. It was a pop, you know, pop rap record, I think, too, you know. And I don't know if about that one being 14th ahead of some of these other ones we've said.
Some of the other ones. Think that might be a little high, Spools.
I do.
Yeah, I do too.
Okay.
Now I'm not from New York, so I mean I honestly don't really know.
Yeah, but it's just not, you know, nor am I, but just it just doesn't like when I
but
hear
that,
it.
That doesn't make me think. When I think of New York, though, I think of like late 90s and 80s for some reason, but maybe that's just where, you know, anyways.
Yeah, let's see what else is on this list. I'm not sure about this because if these are the top 20, I'm not sure what 100
what,
through
what was passed over, right?
100 through 21.
That's what
is
I'm saying.
Like.
So number 13 is Fight the Power, Public Enemy, 1989.
Okay.
I'm not mad at that. Number 12, Craig Mack, Flavor in Your Ear Remix, 94.
Okay.
So I think that makes sense. Number 11, Tribe Called Quest, Scenario, 92.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Everybody good with that? Okay.
Yeah, I'm with it.
Okay. Roxanne Shanté, Roxanne's Revenge, 1984.
Yes.
This is number 10. Sure. Now we're in the top 10.
Yeah, I mean, because you know, there's probably people who have. I don't really have a connection with that record. Nothing against Roxanne Shanté. Probably somebody my age was on the podcast, and you'll probably be in the comments. Like, I just don't have a connection to that record. I could take it or leave it.
Yeah,
that's fair. Mm-hmm. I don't have a connection with it, so I'm gonna agree with Jay Moore. But I also see why it would be on there. Like, I get it. I understand.
I have more of a connection with Live on Stage. Then Roxanne's Revenge.
Live on stage. We need some beat nuts on here, man.
All right, so number 9. M.O.P. Annie Up. 2000.
Okay.
I have no issues with that.
I mean, M.O.P. is very New York.
Yeah, you don't get no... That's hard to beat that if you're talking about actual New York and Brownsville and all that. Like, they definitely embodied that. All right, so number 8. MC Shan, Bridge, KRS-One, The Bridge Is Over. That little situation.
Yeah,
86,
the Bridge Wars.
Yeah,
that was very New York.
Yes, yeah. I agree.
No issues there.
It's a little San Francisco to me. I don't know.
So they went 8 and 7 there, then put both of them together. All right, so now we are getting close to the top 5. Number 6, Bobby Smurder. Hot Nigga 2014 is a number 6 hip hop record for New York all time. Now we start
that was
to
a
get
nationwide.
Am I just old?
be I'm old because this is way too record hot. Is
6 years old. That's like that's crazy to me. It seems.
Well, just think about how long Bobby Shmurda has been in jail. Like,
that's true. Yeah.
And I remember when this joint was at its apex, like it was everywhere. You couldn't turn from it. However, I don't know if it should be 6 on a list of 100 New York records all time. I think that's a little high for me.
Just wanted to throw the young cats a bone, I guess.
Maybe they throw them a bone.
This, though, in this era of music, if you like, you know, just listened to the song and didn't see the video or anything like that, would you think would you think Bobby Shmurda was from where he's from, New York?
No,
it's not a historical New York sound.
So right, exactly.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mike.
You got it, Spools. Go ahead. You got it.
I know we're about to do the top five, but I just read an article or was watching something not too long ago that was talking about with music. Seemingly, there is less there. As time goes on, there's been less and less regional sounding music because of things like SoundCloud, and you know where somebody in Virginia can do something and somebody from San Francisco can grab it, you know, or Oakland can grab it and do, you know what right. I mean? Like it's
right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That different regional sound, not to say it's gone by any means. You can still pick it out. You know what I mean? From some folks, but like not as much as it used to be, I guess.
Yeah.
Not even close.
Louisiana had bounce music. You know what I'm saying? You know, Houston had the Ghetto Boys, and the way they did shit sounded different. You know what I mean? Like Oakland sounds, cats from Oakland sound different, and the Bay sound different than cats from LA. You know, you can just hear that shit. But as time goes on, because you know things like the internet, you know this thing I watched was basically saying you're hearing less of that regional sound.
No, that's absolutely true.
There definitely was a time, to Spool's point, where versatility in the sounds, you could definitely tell. Like New York sounds like Atlanta now, like literally, like it's
side note too, man.
Like the South.
I've been like just shit. I another thing. So, do you guys remember? So Atlanta has been on top of, you know, if you talk about regions or whatever of like popular rap. You know what I mean, for a while. You know what I mean. I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah. As far as the city and, but Atlanta in like probably pre-Outkast was like,
yeah,
69 Boys and 95 South. They were more influenced by like the Miami shit.
Definitely.
Mm. Yeah. It was Two Live Crew.
More call and response, more chance. Yes. You know.
Yeah. And it wasn't until like
our 16s.
Yeah. Yep. So, but anyway, this thing I was reading was saying how Memphis is really what had that, you know, influence on Atlanta because of the Memphis sound, which is very unique in rap. You know what I'm saying? If you really, you know it.
It's the one thing.
It's lo-fi.
That's the one thing I miss about, you know, that's the one thing I miss about, you know, years like 96. You know, when you see that album, you see all the albums that came out in 96, you just put them all together on a collage. Like the flavors are so different. It was from Tribe to UGK to Outkast. Like, everybody was different. Roots, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like that's one thing that I really miss about, you know, that era was the versatility on the mainstream. All those records were getting played. Those weren't underground joints. They were getting played. You know what I mean? So
that was
definitely a good time. All right. So we're in the top five now. So these should be no brainers. Nicole has already looked up the list. I see you in the chat. She's got some discrepancies already. We'll have to get to those. Number five, Wu-Tang, Cream, 94. I don't think we have any issues
absolutely
with that.
Fair enough.
Number four, Nas, New York State of Mind, 94. Absolutely. Yes, sir.
That was my number one pick, actually. That was going to be my number one.
I like New York State of Mind Part 2 a lot as well.
Ooh.
It's a dope song. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is no question. Juicy, a biggie, 94 is number three.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I'm not mad at that. Okay, so now we're down to the top two. Coming in at number two is Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, The Message, 1982.
I mean, it had to be New York. There were no other regions involved in hip-hop.
What are you going to do, Hard Knock Life number one or something? It's going to be a Jay-Z song, isn't it?
It is not. The number one record. What you guys, Spools, guess it. Everybody take a guess.
I'm surprised it's not a Jay-Z record.
I am.
Your guess, it is not Jay-Z.
Girls in Jail by Kool Keith.
Oh, God. It's always one. It's always one.
Never Coming Home. Number one New York sounding song.
We gonna get flagged on YouTube now.
Alicia Keys.
Alicia Keys.
Yeah, I know that's not like a hip hop.
Nah.
They'll probably say Rapper's Delight, Rapper's Delight, or some shit like that.
You're wrong as well, sir. Give me a guess, Lon.
What's that New York song?
New York.
Da, 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 da.
I don't know.
I don't know what that is. the number one record. You got another guess, Bulls?
No, go ahead.
All right, so the number one record on this list, Shook Ones Part 2 by Mobb Deep, 1995.
No, I'm not mad at that at all.
I think that's a strong top five, man. I think I'd switch them around in order a little bit, but personally, yeah. But I think it's a strong collective top five.
Let's show the chat some love.
Shouts to the stove. Let me see what's, you know, for the hi hat.
Yeah, right.
Reach to him long.
Shouts to Havoc.
Yeah, the gas range for the. Yep.
Okay, so let's jump in real quick and show the chat some love. The perspective EPMDs, you got the chill is 100, number 100. I said the same thing. Nicole's mad.
What about Troy?
This is worse than the top 50 MC list that Joe Budden third. Sean, okay. Bring the Pain is number 95.
What?
Yeah, that's low. This is why Griselda is needed. Sean, Eleanor said that.
What about If I Rule the World? Super fun. Rakim.
That's tough.
I wish you guys were around.
Going through the list.
I really wish the chat was around when we were coming up with our top 100 or top 50.
Oh, my God.
153 list. Because y'all would have clowned the hell out of us.
I definitely would have been mad. As I breeze through here real quick, I know we're getting close. She's right about 95 for Method Man. Hmm. Peter Piper for Run DMC was 92. Wow. 50 Cent Wankster was 90. Skimming through 86 was I Ain't No Joke. Rock Eric B and Rakim. Huh. That's extremely low in my opinion.
And you put Bobby Shmurda's in the top 10.
He's number six, right, sir.
Right.
They had to throw the young kids a bone, man.
I guess
that's a big. Right. I mean, they threw him one.
I mean, it's fairly
bone though.
You know,
I mean, you could have thrown some Joey Badass in there. Joey Badass definitely has a New York sound.
Eric B and Rakim, Know the Ledge from Juice, 72.
I wonder. Is Sky Zoo in there at all? Because he's the most New York rapper ever. So
Is Sean Price in there at all? He's pretty New York.
I don't think I see Sean P as I scroll. Rest in peace. The Breaks, Curtis Blow, number 58. Get Money, 57 for Junior Mafia.
Yeah.
As I continue to scroll, Ice Cream is number 53. That's low.
Huh.
That's low to me. Who Shot You is 52. I don't know, man. The World Is Yours is 47. Nas, I Got You Open. Black Moon is 44. Children's Story, Slick Rick is 43. Dead Presidents 2. Jay-Z is 41. We Gonna Make It by Jadakiss is 39. So.
Yeah, the song I was thinking of with Alicia Keys, it was a Jay-Z song.
It's a song, New York.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like. I just
paid in full.
What's the song? What's the song I was doing? It's New York.
Da, da, that's Alicia Keys and Jay-Z.
Yeah, oh, that's the one. That's the one that comes to mind. Yeah, that one should be on there.
I don't see Kane on here. Nicole be hating on Big Daddy Kane.
Empire State of Mind.
Does she?
I ain't gonna even get her started, man. Because we had this conversation about
there's
versus.
Some good point. I mean, Jay Moore still New York though. This discussion before, like.
I ain't gonna get her started because it was about.
No,
verses.
I might. You probably might agree with her actually. So,
oh God, yeah. D-Rock and C-Roll Smooth. They reminisce. Troy is number 21. That's extremely low in my opinion.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
And then we get to Onyx at 20.
Troy's top 10.
Troy has to be top 10. Like it has to be top 10.
Yeah.
Like if you're looking at Troy, I could easily take Bobby Smurder off for Troy. No disrespect, but I could take Roxanne Shanté off in my opinion. Yeah, like Troy has to be in the top 10. Like, there's no way Troy
was Medina Green Crosstown Beef on there by chance.
I don't.
That song's New York as fuck.
Yeah,
dude.
That is a New York ass song.
Yeah.
The Diplomats snuck in there a little bit. I saw them once. I think Old Boy was on there back in the 60s or 70s.
Do we have any Schoolie D on here? I know he's from Philly. Philly. Well, I know he's from Philly, but is there any Schoolie D on there?
Stop, there should man. Be, goddammit. No.
I didn't hear any Mos Def or Talib Kweli.
I don't think Black...
I mean, Respiration would be a really good one. I mean, that's
Black Star.
I see Black Star as I scroll, trying to scroll really fast. I do not see Black Star. I've yet to see Black Star.
I take an early hip hop. That song should be on there.
Yeah, I don't see Black Star.
From the first to the last of it.
Alchemist Hold You Down is in the 60s. Special Ed, I Got It Made is in the 60s.
Sure. Yeah, Redefinition. Yeah, for sure.
I do not see Black Star, man, or Mos Def. Interesting.
Wild. That's the thing with these lists, though, man. There are always going to be people left off. You know, there's no way.
The Blast. I think the Blast. Should be on that.
What about Simon Says?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good call, Long. I don't know. I don't see Pharoah in here, but you're right. Like Cardi B was 33. Kodak Yellow was 33.
Again, that song could have been made by anybody on anywhere in the world. Like,
yeah, I mean, that was.
I think that's another bone they threw on that one. Because, come on, man. No disrespect.
And I'm not trying to hate on it. It was a popular song and all that. But like, if it doesn't make me think of New York.
Pop Smoke Dior was number 24. Pop Smoke has two. He had two records on his list.
Was Welcome to the Party on there?
I believe so, back in the 70s.
Pump It Up. I think without a doubt, I think the new old heads, you know, best MC list is probably the best list ever created in the history of the world.
Ours is very fair, man. We had multiple categories, data.
We had discussion just about what categories to have.
We had discussions about who was just going to be on them.
Yeah. Do you have our top 10? Accessible to you before we get out of here. Could you pull that up real quick?
And they can find it. They can find it on our Instagram page as well.
That's a good point.
That is a little different. This isn't the same type. This isn't New York. This is our top 10 of all time.
All time. And we had a very extensive criteria and a good conversation.
That shit took like eight to 10 weeks, if I'm not mistaken.
It's like eight episodes, man.
We all did not agree. Some of us definitely disagreed a lot on this, and that's the fun part about it. So,
if I can make this bigger here.
Yeah, let's see.
So this is actually on newoldheads.com as well. Here, I'll make this bigger. I'll just click it. Boom. We went through a whole bunch of nonsense for this.
Nicole is still in here. Please
look at this list.
Look
at Doom at 54. Look, that's just sad.
Yeah.
Black I want to open up any old wounds.
Oh, God. The fact that Scarface is not... Oh, my God.
Scarface is number 9, though. You know, he's number 9. He ain't first, but
he's my number one. He was my number one.
So we have Black Thought, 3 Stacks, Jay-Z, Biggie, Nas, Kendrick, Common, Rakim, Scarface, and Royce, based off our criteria. Rounding out the top 20 was Ghost, KRS-One, Kool G Rap, Pac, Fonte. Yes, Fonte from Lil Brother, Big Pun, Q-Tip, Big Boy, Redman, and Busta Rhymes. The criteria was steep. Very steep. Oh,
but I mean, we went all the way up to like 156, so we had to cut it off somewhere.
Be Legit and Trina.
NewOldHeads.com. You can check the whole thing out, though.
Yeah, check the list out. Come back and visit us next week and let us know what you thought about the list.
Also, let us know if you've had one of those Travis McDonald things from
please
McDonald's.
Let us know
how did it go.
Yeah, let me know if you cop any of the merch too. We want to see how the quality of the merch and if they got toys and stuff with it. If it's a Happy Meal, holla at us, man. Let us know what y'all got. Be very curious about that.
Did you guys see the video of the white kid that and there was like this? I don't know. He walked into a McDonald's and he was overexcited and he was like, "Do you have any?" He was like, "They told him, hey, you need a mask on," and so she gave him a mask. The person working, and he's like, "Do you have any Supreme masks? I only wear Supreme." And then he was all joking, kind of. And then eventually he was like, "Yeah, I want." He's, you know, Cactus Jack? It's like Cactus Jack sent me here, said, you know.
Yeah.
And then eventually, like, this white woman got randomly mad because they were filming and started like yelling at them. And then they were it was very bizarre.
I need to watch this.
You guys see that there's a Karen Halloween mask?
Where'd Jay Moore go?
That's hilarious. I think he dipped on us without saying he dipped on us.
Yeah. Bye, Jay Moore.
Bye. All right, man. I think that's going to do it for this episode. We appreciate everybody rocking with us in the chat. Stick around for a little bit. We usually stick around to around 11-ish. Remember, go to the new channel on YouTube. Search for New Old Heads. We have a new channel that we started. We're trying to get our subscribers up as soon as possible. So please go on there and search for New Old Heads on the search bar for YouTube and subscribe to the new channel. Still rock with Bringing Down the Band as always. That's the hub. What are you saying, Long?
Yeah, I'll drop the link in the chat. So
perfect.